I'm not sure what direction I'm going to end up going. I'm not sure whether it's going to be just tonight or it's going to be two parts. I won't know until I start. And before we look into God's Word, you know, last week we had 3 days of prayer and fasting with Times Square Church. Each night, God's Spirit moved mightily, both in New York and in this place, and I'm sure it did in all the other places that joined in prayer with Times Square Church during those 3 nights of prayer and fasting. And that first Tuesday night after the prayer and fasting at Times Square Church and what we had here, I got in the car and Susan, my wife, and I continued to have a great time of prayer on the drive home. I can't even describe it. There was things that we were praying for. There was things that we were taking authority over. There was things the Lord was showing me. There was things the Lord was showing her. And I got home and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep that Tuesday night. And I woke up at various times during the night, and I just found myself praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. There was something that began to happen on that Tuesday night of prayer and fasting. And then on Wednesday night, during prayer, I walked to the back to get a piece of paper because I had to write something down the Lord was showing me. And I saw Pastor Mark. He was kneeled down back there where the sound and audio is. He was on his face before the Lord. And, you know, he was crying out to the Lord. And as the week went on, I was asking the Lord for a message for tonight. Because there's, you know, the call that the Lord has done with Pastor Carter Collin and a time to pray, I was sensing in my spirit there was more to what the Lord was wanting to do. You know, he's calling his church. He's calling his church to pray. And I said, Lord, what is it? There's something else. And we're going to begin to look at that tonight. And like I said, I don't know whether I'll get through it all tonight or not, because it's stirring in my heart. But there's something there, and the Lord was showing me things about David. He was showing me things about Jesus. He was showing me all these different things. So open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8. Now Solomon, we're going to take a look at some things that Solomon said here during a prayer. And Solomon was whose son? He was David's son, right? So sons have a tendency to learn things from their father, don't they? So I'm going to start in verse 22. And I'm going to read all the way through 61, so bear with me. And we're going to come back and look at what is being said and some things that the Lord had me. They were like a neon sign as I read through this. Verse 22, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou walkest before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thy eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and on an oath he laid upon him to cause him to swear, and that oath come before him, come before thy altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name and pray, and make application unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflicted them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them and the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land or their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man has plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do not give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear the great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far over or near, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear from their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their trespasses wherein they have now transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be for thy people and thy inheritance which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine habitation, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the nation shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now, there's a lot there. And I said, Lord, why did you want me to read all that? Because I was sensing in my spirit, and I saw it in Pastor Mark when he was back there kneeling, and I saw a picture here, you know, of what was going on with Solomon. Solomon was kneeling. He was praying. But there was a word, there was one word that I found mixed with prayer many times in this passage of Scripture we read. But then I started looking at it more, and it's the word supplication. Prayer and supplication. And, you know, I started looking at it, and the Bible refers to the word supplication. There's 60 times in God's Word. There's 39 times in a singular form. There's 21 in a plural. There's 53 times in the Old Testament and 7 times in the New Testament. And I'm not sure about 7 in the New Testament, because I only found 6, but I have to look at that more. But the word supplication was interesting, because it was a word that meant it was an action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. And it referred to a position which the individual was bowed down. And, you know, watching what was going on at Times Square Church and what was going on here, there was a humbling that was occurring during the time of prayer and fasting. There was a humbling. There was a kneeling before the Lord our God, our Maker. And the other part of that word supplication is the word supple. And, you know, as I'm looking through this prayer of Solomon, you can also find it in 2 Chronicles 6, 19-39. It's the same prayer, it's a little bit different. Some of the things that are said are different. But you know, when you're looking at this prayer that he prayed, in verse 20, and he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee." We have to know that. We have to know there is no God. There is no God like God our Father. And I was sensing that as I was listening to people pray at Times Square Church that were being asked to come and pray for different situations. Pray for the city of New York. Pray for the country. Pray for the nations. Those young students that came in from the school there, they knew who their God was. They knew that God was faithful. They knew that God was going to answer their prayer. And then he says, "Who keepeth covenant and mercy." God keeps covenant with you and I, brothers and sisters. He never breaks covenant with you and I. He is faithful. We break covenant, but he never breaks covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. And Solomon had seen his father. He'd seen his father in the times that he prayed, the times that he went before the Lord. He had seen what his father had done. But he says something here. Lord, keep my voice. In verse 24, he says, "Who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him." Solomon is saying, that which God promised my father, he kept. There are promises you and I have been given by God. And you know what? God is going to keep that promise. If he promised it, he's going to fulfill it. Not in your time, not in my time, but he will fulfill it because he's a God that keeps promise. And that's what Solomon's saying here. He's saying, you know, you keep your promises. If you say it, Lord, it's true. And so many times when we're standing for something, we kind of stagger on God's promises. No, God's promises, we don't need to stagger. If God said it, it's true. And we can stand on what he's promised. And if we move on down to verse 28, it says, "Yet have they respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication." Prayer and supplication. If I get to it tonight, I'll get to it. If I don't, I'll do it another time. But we know that in the New Testament, it talks about prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. It talks about, you know, we're to do nothing without prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. We know what prayer is. We know how to give thanks. But there's a supplication. There's a supplication that moves God's heart. There's a bowing down. And you know that word supple, it was interesting because Let me find it here. Okay, thank you, Lord. See, when we pray and fast, as we did all last week, there's something that God does in your heart and my heart. And I believe it started last week with this aspect of supplication. Because when we have a mindset of being humble and supple before God, okay? Now, this is what I wrote down. If we're supple before God, we're soft, we're pliable, we're healthy, and we give away under pressure and touch. You ever felt someone has supple skin? Soft, pliable, it's healthy, gives away under pressure. Soft, thank you. And it's soft under touch. And see, that's what God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us not only to be prayers, but He wants us to pray and prayer and supplication. There's two of them. They go hand in hand. You can't separate them. It occurs many times. In verse 28, it talks about prayer and supplication. Verse 30 talks about supplication. And therefore, thou to the supplication of thy servant. Then you go into verse 33, make supplication unto thee in this house. Why does He want us to make supplication? Because there's something that happens to you and I in regard to our prayer unto the Lord. He hears our prayer, but when we add supplication, that kneeling down, that bowing down before God, and become supple before Him, something happens. We become moldable. We become shapeable. It's not about, we're not praying any longer about what we need. We're praying about what God shows us He wants and what He needs in those situations and circumstances. And I saw that during the times of prayer and fasting last week. I saw it when I walked back and I saw Pastor Mark kneeling. He wasn't just praying. There was supplication coming forth from His Spirit. And it was a blessing to see that. And as I looked at this word, and I started asking the Lord, I said, Lord, Solomon was David's son. And Solomon had to see the times in which his father was in times of prayer and supplication. And I want to take a look at some of those times. Because as I was looking at them, well, let's go to the first one. Let's go to Psalms 28. Thanks for that water, Michelle. Psalms 28. It says, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. And when I read that passage of Scripture, I stopped. Because last night, when we joined Times Square Church. At the end of the time of prayer, one of these singers started singing that song, "There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up in the land." And as soon as she said that, I walked to the back. The Lord said, "There's something else rising up in the land." And that's what David said here. There is a voice of supplication that's beginning to rise up in this land that goes along with prayer. There is a prayer and supplication. But here it says, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee." David is saying this. David is saying, "Hear the voice of," he didn't say, "Hear the voice of my prayers." He said, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy temple." Verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard." God hears our supplications. He hears our prayers. But when we pray, when there's prayer and supplication, it's something that gets God's ears. I don't know what it is. But as I look at all these scriptures, go to Psalms 31. Verse 19. I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear him, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thy eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. And then he says, oh, love the Lord. Isn't that what Carter Collins said last night? He was talking about the love of God. He says, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. There is no other hope. The only hope we have is in the Lord. But just these two passages of Scripture here in the Psalms, Solomon had to hear these. Now go over to Psalm 86:6. I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications." The voice of my supplications. It occurs there again. And what got my attention as I was looking at all this, you know, when he talks about prayer or prayers, it doesn't mention a voice. But when you look at supplication, it mentions a voice. A voice of supplication. So there must be something in a voice of supplication that gets God's ear. I'm like, okay, Lord. Let's go to Psalm 116. Verse 1. I love the Lord. Why? Why does he love the Lord? This is David. David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? God loved David, and David loved God. He says, I love the Lord because he's heard my prayers? No, he says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. We know that God knows his sheep. He knows them by their name. And he says, we know his voice, and no other voice shall we follow. But there's a voice of supplication when we are praying. When we have prayer and supplication, there's that voice of supplication that comes from you and I that gets God's attention. Go to Psalm 130. Verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Go to Psalm 140. Do we have an enemy? Yeah. Start verse 5. Did David have enemies? It says, the proud have hid a snare for me, and cords they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Remember when I read Solomon's prayer about when Solomon said, there is no other God? He knew who that Father God was. Because David's saying here, I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. And during the time of prayer and fasting, whether it was Carter Conlon, whether it was any of the other people that were praying during that time of fasting, they knew who their God was. They knew who their Father was. They knew that when they took their prayer and supplications before God Almighty, He was going to move. What happened on the last night? Carter Conlon kind of laughed. He said, we had someone call in for their blood pressure to go up. It went up. While prayer was going on, God raised the blood pressure. See, God is so faithful. He is so faithful. Go to Psalm 142. There's more than this one that I'm about to read right now, but I found it interesting, and I haven't had a chance to study it. I'm study it further, but in verse 42, verse 1, it says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him any trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, that thou knowest my path in the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. But see, he cried unto the Lord with a voice of supplication. And I didn't see this until just now. Go down to Psalm 143. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." What did Pastor Mark just start teaching on? The righteousness. This is what David's acknowledging right now. The voice and the prayer and the supplication, he knew that it was in God's righteousness. There wasn't anything David could do to get God's attention. But he knew about supplication. He knew about supplication. That bending, that kneeling, that being in that place where he's supple, where he could be molded, where he could be shaped, where he could be tender before God. And was David tender before God? Did David make mistakes? Yeah, he did. And I want to read a passage of Scripture that illustrates that suppleness, that tenderness, that attitude that was of David's heart. Go to Psalm 51. We all know this Scripture. I'm going to start in verse 5 because David acknowledged something here. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's you and I. We're born with a sin nature. And then he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities." But see, here's that heart of David. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Carter Collins shared that testimony of that brother, the older pastor, is 90-some, Ben Crandall. You know, he'd fallen away. Comes out of a bar, stand under a light. His mom, I'd never met his mom, But I will guarantee you, she was in a time of prayer and supplication before God for her son. And it moved God's heart. It moved God's heart. And what happened? The joy of the Lord was restored to him. He came back to know the Lord. And I used to love listening to his teachings because he did teachings on different aspects of life. Worked a lot with the married couples in Times Square Church. Just had a really good spirit. But there was prayer and supplication that went forth for him that caused him to be drawn back. And you and I have family members, friends and people we know. God's wanting to raise up a voice of supplication in your household, in your life, in your workplace. Because I believe that voice of supplication, yeah, it's a posture. Yeah, it's a tenderness before God. But it's that tenderness before God that causes us to move into a deeper level of prayer before God until we see a breakthrough, until we see a change, until we see things start to take place. Is there anyone else in the Bible that comes to your mind when you think of prayer? Turn over to the book of Daniel, please. Daniel knew the same thing that David did. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We just went through a time of fasting. But see, there's more that happened. And he says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Now, it kind of sounds like David, doesn't it? Crying out. You go on down to verse 17, that same chapter. I'm going to start in verse 16. It says, O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thy anger and Thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O Lord our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and his supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline Thy ear and hear. Open my eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by Thy name, for we do not present our supplications before Thee for our righteousness, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for Thy own sake, O my God, for Thy city and Thy people are called by Thy name. That's what we were praying during prayer and fasting. We were praying for cities. We were praying for countries. We were praying for nations. And then in verse 22, and he says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee all thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandments came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Once again, Daniel, the same as David, was a man of prayer and supplication. And he was used by God mightily. And God is raising up a voice of supplication in the times in which we're living. And when she sang that song, there's an army rising up. The Lord said, write down, there's a voice rising up. There's a voice of supplication that's rising up in the nation, in the world. Carter Collins, part of that voice of supplication. Pastor Marks, part of that voice of supplication. It's not just prayer. It's prayer and supplication. It's taking on a suppleness before God. A tenderness before God. And it's a voice that's not praying for our needs, but is praying for what God shows needs to be done to accomplish His plans, His purposes in the times in which we live. That's what that voice of supplication is. It's a crying out to God. Doing on time, okay. Was prayer and supplication important to the first church? Go to Acts, chapter 1. That sets the stage here, starting in verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zebedee and Judas the brother of James. They all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 16. But starting in verse 10, it starts talking about the armor of God. But when we get to 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's a key word here, because I believe part of that supplication, that voice of supplication, there's a perseverance. There's a perseverance that rises up in your spirit man. And you no longer become moved by what you see. You no longer become moved by what you feel. But you continue to pray. You continue to have prayer and supplication because you want to see God's will and plans and purposes done in that which He's purposed and caused you to begin to kneel before Him and cry out to. Over to Philippians. Chapter 4. Starting in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. But in everything, you know, I remember the teachings that Pastor Mark did on all things. You know, everything's an important one too. You know, you start looking at the everythings and all things, and you start putting them all together, guess what it leaves out? Nada. Nothing. Zero. Doesn't leave out anything. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And I got to this passage of Scripture and I had to stop. I had to say, Lord, forgive me. Because you know, almost all the mistakes that I've made in my life, because I didn't put Him first. I didn't talk to Him first. And you know what? There's people sitting here tonight. There's people listening over the internet that are still doing it now. They finally go to God when they can't figure it out. And that hit me. And Sue was talking to me about it a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, that's true. But the Lord reminded me of what she said as I'm standing here tonight. Because if He's all-knowing, and He has all wisdom, and He has all understanding, why are we being so stupid and not going to Him first? You know why this is here? Be anxious for nothing? You know why we fret and stew? Because we're trying to figure out what the answer is, and God's standing there, sitting there on the throne. He and Jesus and the Father are sitting there going, if they would just ask, all that would go away. All that anxiousness, it would leave. It would leave. And I want to give you a simple testimony of what I'm talking about. 2 weeks ago, I was at my office in the men's bathroom. Walk in, you get a little trickle of water. I go in, I pull the lid off. It needs a new flapper. So, 10 minutes later, client comes in. He goes in and uses the men's bathroom. He goes, you know, you got a little water running in that. I said, yeah, I need a new flapper. He goes, oh, okay. Didn't say anything. I went about taking care of his son. He goes out the front door, and I'm like, where's he going? He comes walking back in with a brand new flapper. So I take the flapper, I put it in the toilet, the little drip stops. And Lord, as I'm coming out of the toilet or out of the men's bathroom, He goes, aren't you curious where He got the flapper? I said, yeah, Lord, I'm curious. Where did He get the flapper? So I walk out, I don't remember his first name, and I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Are you a plumber? He goes, no. I said, what are you doing carrying a flapper, a brand new flapper, in your car? He said, they had a sale and you got three and I needed two and I had an extra one still in my car that I hadn't taken out. But because of prayer and supplication, the flapper was fixed. But see, it talks about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto the Lord. But see, here's what happens. Let your request be made known unto the Lord. When you pray and have supplication, remember that supplication is a suppleness, a tenderness, and a bowing down and letting your desires and your will go so God can intervene and bring about His plans and His purposes. Here's what I said. We want God to mold our thinking, our opinions, our emotions to be in line with His opinions, His feelings, His emotions. But see, when we're anxious about things, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We want God to give us our request, our pleasures. We want Him to listen to our opinions. And He's going, I want you to learn about prayer and supplication. That second part, supplication. Because here's the best part. When we do what it says in 6, what does it say in 7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you always understand what's going on in your life? No. But this says, because of prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, we shall end up with a peace of God which passeth all understanding. Whether you understand it or don't understand it, you'll have the peace of God because you will know what God's desires are, what God's feelings are. And we know that from Isaiah. He says what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. We still haven't understood that yet. Go to 1 Timothy, please. We just read in Philippians, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, right? Look what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He changes the order here. He says supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. I said, Lord, why did you put supplications first? You know, Lord wants to answer our questions when He asks them. Because what is this about? It's about supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving you thanks be made for all men. We were praying that last week. We were praying for all men, all women throughout the world. I said, Lord, why supplications first here? You got supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving you thanks. He goes, I put supplications first here because that's the state that you need to be in to properly pray and intercede and give thanks for all men. Because you're going to look at them at the outward appearance. You're going to look at them and go, they don't stand a chance. But see, when you begin with supplication, supplication causes your heart to change, causes your outlook to change, causes you to become that supple, that saint child of God on the potter's wheel. It allows God to form what He wants you to pray, what He wants you to intercede, and what He wants you to give thanks for. That's why supplication is first here. Let me see where I want to end here. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to end on this one because who makes supplications for you and I day and night? Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. He offered up prayer and supplication. And there's a voice of supplication that God is in the process of raising up in the land in which we live right now. I don't know exactly what that voice is. I just know that God was speaking to my spirit man. And I'm not done. I'm done tonight. But I'm not sure whether I'm done teaching this aspect because there's more to this word supplication than I was able to gather from Saturday till tonight. Because I just started seeing things differently. I'm like, Lord, prayer and supplication. Those words are together a lot. You were a man of prayer and supplication. And then I got the picture of the cross. And I'm going to end with this. I got the picture of the cross. Because prayer is nothing more than communication. Talking to the Father. Talking to Jesus. That's all prayer is. What was Jesus supplication on the cross. His supplication, his prayer was, and supplication was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the same prayer and supplication he wants us to have for all men. And prayer and supplication will change you. It will change how you pray. It will change how God moves. And he's moving. God is moving. There is a voice. There's an army rising, but that army is going to have a voice of prayer and supplication in the days ahead. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for knowing that every time we look into your word, Father, and we ask to reveal something to us that we don't know or to show us something we haven't seen, you answer us, Father. And Father, as we look into your word, it's so deep. But there's something that you're wanting to do in the times in which we live in regard to supplication. Yeah, most of us have a pretty good handle on what it means to pray. But there's too many times you talk about prayer and supplication. Lord, teach us. Teach us about that supplication. Yeah, I know what you've already revealed to me. It causes us to be more supple, to be more tender, to be able to handle the pressure and the touch of your hand. Because, Lord, we can be hard sometimes. But, Lord, when you touch us with your hand, there should be a tenderness on our heart, on our mind, on our thinking, on our feelings. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God that keeps all your promises, that you're a God that keeps covenant. Oh, make us more supple, Lord. Make us more tender. Give us more peace, but Lord, we know how we get more peace. It's through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and not being anxious. So if there's anyone who's anxious, if there's anyone who's trying to figure out what to do, go to Jesus. Ask him, because he's wanting to show us. He knows your name. He knows your voice. Unless you haven't been to him in a long time, he may ask, I'm not sure who this is, but tell me. He still knows who you are. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name.